Hello and welcome to Inspired, your grown-up girl talk. I'm Stacey Fleece with co-host Samantha Tredelius. Samantha.
Here we are.
Here we are. It's raining again. In case anybody was wondering, it's raining again. Like, winter left and then like forgot its fucking coat and came back.
Yeah, it did. It sure did.
And I left my umbrella. I had to come back to get it. I don't know. I really thought I was bringing spring on for everybody because I put all my outdoor cushions out the other week. So I was going to take full responsibility for bringing on spring. And yesterday I had to put them all away again.
Not good. It's not good. But here we are again with an incredible guest doing incredible things for women all over the place. So let's dive on in.
I'm super excited about this one. First of all, our guest today, Naz Dion, thank you for joining us. We're super excited to have you here.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's so great to be talking to your incredible ladies.
So entrepreneur, you have your own company that you started after a very successful career in finance, almost out of a self-need after you had a child. So I want to back up to your history though, because you have a really interesting path that sort of led you all to this, growing up in Tehran. Yeah. And then moving to an entirely different country when you were 26. How did you land in Canada?
I have a funny answer for that, like, because I get that question a lot, that why all of all the countries you chose Canada? And my answer is when I was very small, my mom traveled to many, many countries, my mom and dad. And I remember that I was so small, my mom came to Canada. And when she came back, she said, that's the country that I want to live in. I love the country. I love Toronto. I love the youth. It stuck with me. And when I was growing up, I always knew that I wanted to build a better life for myself. I wanted to go do my master's degree. And funny enough, I always introduced myself as being a physicist turned banker turned entrepreneur, because I studied physics in my undergrad and I always wanted to be an astronomer. And I always wanted to go to Toronto and study in my master's. So this just stuck with me. And I always wanted to, whenever I thought about just continuing my studies and going to another country because of all the issues and problems and economic problems back in Iran, I always knew that I wanted to go to Toronto. And that's what I did.
Which is incredible, because it is an amazing place.
I think my takeaway from that is children are always listening.
They are always watching.
If you think kids aren't listening to you, yes, they are.
100%.
Yes,
100%. So as a young woman, I mean, that must have been a little bit of a culture shock, you know, to relocate. And, you know, obviously life in Canada, I'm sure, is a lot different than it was in your home country. So there was a lot of hurdles and things you had to, you know, move over.
Yes, I did. So I moved to Canada with my husband. So we both moved at the same time. I mean, he was here before and we kind of like he got back and forth, but we really, for the first time living here, we did it together and we just got married. So just imagine that the two of us starting kind of like living together and moving here. And what we did, which I think was really helpful, but at the same time was really hard, but was really helpful in helping us just get our foot into the workplace, was that we applied for our MBAs. So kind of like my life shifted. So after I started working back in Iran, and I was growing up in an entrepreneurial family, so I started working with my dad, and I quickly knew that I didn't want to study astronomy anymore. I wanted to be with people. I wanted to be in business. So I decided to do an MBA, and my husband, who was an engineer, he did the same thing. So we applied and we moved to Canada right before starting our MBA at one of the business schools here, which was very, I think, hard, because it was the culture shock. It was studying an MBA. It's not easy to do in your newlyweds and, you know, away from family. We didn't have anybody. We didn't know anybody. But I think going to school, making friends at school, getting like just learning more and more about both the, you know, social, like creating that social life, that friend group, and at the same time opening doors to get recruited in good companies. I think that was the best decision that we made in our lives. Well, moving
pause,
together.
Pause for 1 second. Let me understand this. You get married, you pick up and move as a newlywed couple to a country in a totally different part of the world where you have no family, no friends to speak of. You apply for your MBA, become classmates.
Yes.
And go to together.
Yes,
okay. So a couple follow-up questions. Is your husband still alive? Or was there a point?
He survived. He survived. Barely survived.
And you're still married. Can we just?
And we're still married. I think this was it was magic. I don't know how we did that.
I feel like that's a whole other podcast episode.
It's a whole other episode.
A TED Talk on that. Like. Yeah. Just that one piece of your life.
Yeah. So I think what helps, I mean, it was difficult. Like it was a challenge. Like I think every day was a challenge. Not only like we had challenge, like working together, like going to school together, all of that, but also like nobody wanted to cook. Nobody wanted to go grocery shopping. Nobody, didn't even have time to do that, right? I just remember that we had classes until 10 p.m. and at 11 p.m. we were grocery shopping and we're coming home afterwards and just putting things away. And I'm like, it was a challenge, but I think it made us a lot stronger. But it helped because I started dating my husband, but back then he was not my husband, obviously, when I was 18. So I think like growing up together we went to the same school for undergrad, studied different majors, but we went to the same undergrad school. So we kind of like just got used to that. So, you know, we survived. I don't know how.
That alone is fantastic. So you graduate with your MBA. You have this incredible career in finance with RBC, Royal Bank of Canada, in case anyone is unfamiliar. And then you want to have a family. So you have a daughter. And this is interesting. You said after you had a daughter, and I think so many of us feel this in our hearts, all of your achievements and focuses in life took a backseat, which probably shouldn't happen, but it does. Like it just, mm-hmm. like we lose, we gain the joy of motherhood, but we lose so much of ourselves as a career woman and who we are growing up. So, you know, tell us about that transition for you, because that really sort of then birthed your company, which we will talk about here as well.
Yeah, exactly. So my daughter is now 8. When I had her, I was working in RBC and I was moving from one role to another. I was in the talent pool. So I kind of like felt like I got it all, right? So every day, like the challenge that I'm going to get over, my accomplishment, that I call it a social identity that I built myself for myself in my career and how I felt like I'm being perceived. And I was so excited about having a child. Like I always wanted to become a mother. I wanted to have more than one. And I just even thinking about taking a year off in Canada, we have a year maternity time.
Okay. And
I was so excited about it. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited about taking a year off, just spending time with my baby. And, you know, I'm going to rule the world and I'm going to be so great at it. And my mom had four, I have three siblings. So my mom had four children. And to me, obviously, she was the perfect mom. And I'm like, I'm going to be even better than her. I'm going to do it all. And I can do it. And then, bam, in one day, I was at home with a baby and my only job was to take care of this baby. And I was so bad at it, or I felt I was bad at it. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I couldn't even breastfeed. I was all over the place. And I'm sure that many, many moms experienced that. But to me, it was so hard because I was nothing that I felt I was before. And I was something that I was so excited about and I loved. Thankfully, I wanted to hold on to my baby. I didn't even want anybody to take her away for a minute from me, which was not helpful. But I kind of like slowly developed postpartum depression because I wanted to just sit in a room, try to breastfeed my baby, which I thought was the end of the world if I couldn't, which is now, when I think about it, it's just so, I don't know, it's so wrong thinking that way. But I wanted to be a really good mom. I wanted to be able to do it all the way that I did before in my MBAs and my career. And I felt like I'm really failing. So that was really hard to go through. And I really thought postpartum depression for many, many months, which I think the worst part for me, and I should mention that among my friend, I was the first one that had a baby. So it was all new to me. And I didn't see anything else. I didn't talk to it. And again, I was in Canada. All my friends were, most of them were immigrants too. And I was already 33 when I had my baby. And I was used to just, you know, having my own social life and being on my own, not needing to worry about a baby. So all of that was such a big shock to me that didn't help at all. So I think that is the main thing that led to developing postpartum depression that I fought with for many, many months.
And I think, thank you for sharing that, because we all go through our version of, you know, motherhood at the basic stages, because a lot of us aren't around little babies and now we have a little person we got to care for and we don't matter. It's all about this. And it is a very isolating place. Even if you do have a great circle sometimes, it is a place that I think all of us at some point in the motherhood journey go through. And, you know, we still go through different areas of it as they age. So what I really love the most about this line that you've created of these incredible bags is that you're a mother, but you're still you. So it was really taking that moment, that dark place that you were in, and creating something incredible. So tell us a little bit about what it is that you're doing and how we can still be moms, but still be cool.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. So a few years forward, my daughter, I think was already four when I started thinking about doing something on my own. So I did go back to RBC and I kind of like tried to, and I obviously I got over the postpartum depression and everything was good, but there was this just itch that I knew that I wanted to do something, and I knew that I wanted to help moms. I did that little by little by helping moms that in my circle. I remember that anybody in my friends who had a baby, the only thing or one of the only things that I told them is that it doesn't matter. It's okay not to be okay. You can feel inadequate. You can feel your failing. You can have all of that feelings. And a lot of other moms do have those feelings, so you're not alone. And just remember that at the end of the day, you are the best mother for your baby. So never forget that. So I tried to be really vocal about this. I almost told everybody in my circle about my postpartum depression, about the challenges, because I knew that if I don't talk about that person is going to be another me, not knowing about the challenges that other moms are going through. So it was really at the back of my head all the time that I want to do something and I want to bring that like voice up and help moms. So when I really knew that I'm ready to start a company for myself, and I always had the passion for products, I knew that I want to do a product. I wanted to do something for moms and babies, but I specifically wanted to create something for moms. And diaper bag was something that I felt like is going to be a really good product to focus on, because one is a bag. We even love bags. You carry a handbag or bag all the time with you. And I think it's a little bit underappreciated that a diaper bag is something that you use for 2-3 years, and some people even afterwards if you have a good bag, and you take it everywhere with you. No matter if you're going to a park, you're going to a party, you're going to a restaurant or travel, this is something that you carry. So why not have something that you love to carry, not because you have to carry, right? So I wanted it to be something that, one, is very functional, because as a mom, a lot of us go through a lot of diaper bags that we cannot like find that functionality that we want. So I wanted to, first of all, create something that has that function, has that quality that moms are looking for. But why not have something stylish and fashionable that you feel good about?
Most of the time, they are not stylish. I mean, my youngest is 11 now. So things are a little bit hipper than they were 11, 13 years ago when I was having my girls. But a lot of times they're like, not cute. They don't. Yeah. I mean, you could go up the ante and get like, I remember when Kate Spade came out with like her
bags. So mine are college and I didn't want a diaper bag that looked like a diaper bag. And the only good option out there was a Kate Spade diaper bag, which basically was just a square tote with two outside pockets for bottles. And that became a diaper bag. But for me, it was like, well, we're going to have something that dad will carry too. And I didn't want it to look like a diaper bag, but that was literally the only good option.
There was no option.
And by the way, we've now come up with your TED Talk number 2 for new moms. P.S. We have second TED Talk. We're just going to create a whole new career for you.
We're going to get you out of the speaking circle.
But let's talk about, I want to talk about your designs, your company sure. name, India Monde.
Yeah, that's right.
They are gorgeous. They're like beautiful. I don't need a diaper bag, but I would carry these just as a really stylish bag, especially for travel. Like as a professional woman, I do travel for work sometimes and also a little limited on what, because I don't want just a regular computer bag. No, thank you. This is something that I could totally carry. So let's talk about how you came up with this idea and the design around it.
Sure. Yeah. So what I did is that I remember the first thing I did was to list everything that I wanted a bag to have, like literally everything. And it's funny because I went to a lot of mom, I interviewed and I kind of like just had this conversation with a lot. I started this friends and then just going outside of my circle and talking to my mom, to all the moms, just understanding what do you want to see in the diaper bag or what are the pain points they have. And everybody was like, you know what? It seems perfect, but there's no way you can put all of that stuff in one bag. And to be really honest, I did most of them, at least. I don't think maybe there's one item that I wasn't able to include because these bags are big, and working with my manufacturer and kind of like tweeting the design for almost over a year. So 14 months I worked on this design just to make sure that it has everything. So I wanted it to be, first of all, has so much space inside, but multiple pockets, because the chaos would be like when you're looking for something and just looking inside that bag and just trying to pick everything out, just one-handed most of the time for moms, just picking something out and trying to look for that. So I wanted to have multiple pockets inside. This bag has 15 pockets.
Wow.
And I wanted to have insulated pockets for snacks or bottles, obviously. I wanted to be wipeable. I wanted it to be waterproof. I wanted it to stay clean and I wanted it to stay upright. So that's what I did. I created a bag that stays upright instead of just falling over. I wanted it to go on a carry-on. So it has a carry-on sleeve that can turn, if you open the zipper, it would just turn into a carry-on sleeve for travel. So you don't have to carry it in airports. I wanted to have a laptop or electronic sleeve because, you know, as moms, a lot of us would carry an iPad or something. Or then later on, when you go back to work, you can use it as your work bag or just a hybrid. So, and so kind of like just, again, going through. So that was the first thing, just having that list. And then what I did is that I looked at most of the diaper bags available. So I did my best to go through everything and find out the good features and the pain points and try to correct some of them. Just an example is that the side pockets usually are good to have when the bag is full. You cannot really use the side pockets. So I designed it in a way that expands. So even if the bag is completely full, you can still fit a bottle, water bottle inside or an umbrella or something. So kind of like that was my design process.
So right there, you outdid Kate Spade. Just in that one side pocket moment, you have outdone Kate Spade.
Yeah, no. It's very cool to be able to actually be able to create something that is, you know, you're getting all the intel, you're experiencing it yourself, and now you're like bringing it all together. So when you talked about that, you know, year plus process of building this out, I mean, picking fabric, picking, you know, the interiors, all the zippers, all the different things. I mean, was that super hard?
It was hard. I think the sourcing part for me was the hardest because I manufacture overseas. Just given the size of the bag, the complexity of the bag, I couldn't do it locally, but I couldn't just give it to somebody that I wasn't sure that they're going to deliver the quality that I want. So that was the hardest part. I worked with manufacturers overseas, just considering the time change, it was really hard. And I tested, I think, 10 manufacturers, and I asked them to build prototypes for me. And during every prototype, I gathered people, showing them, just taking notes. And I remember that something that somebody told me was my daughter's friend's mom, who told me about the opening, because we didn't have a zipper first. We had kind of like a clip. And I remember, and I always thank her, because she said that, oh, you know what, this is not easy to use. Why not just have a zipper? And I'm like, yeah, I think you're right. Let's just do that. And I got feedback from a lot of people, because when you're really deep into something, you might not really see that from another perspective. Mm-hmm. And you just get used to the fact that this is the way that it looks or it's the way that it functions. So I tried to get that feedback. And then finally we came up with, like, we said, okay, we found a manufacturer that was amazing. Their prototypes that they made for us were amazing. The quality, everything. The lining of the bag was really good. But what happened is that when we ordered, and I'm just kind of like deviating here to some of the problems that we had, is that when we ordered the bulk order, that it took us a few months for the bags to reach us, and we started selling and kind of like even pre-selling, the lining of the bag had changed. So they didn't deliver what they promised. And just imagine, I have this big warehouse full of bags, and it was okay for so many people. But then after about two months, I started hearing people saying that the lining is too thin, that is kind of like coming off the stitches. And I'm like, what am I doing here? I'm promising moms something that is going to, you know, solve one of the problems, but I'm just adding to that.
That must have made your head explode. Like,
But obviously the manufacturer wasn't that helpful. So to this date, if anybody had any problems with that, I said, you know what, no problem. I'm gonna change that for you, because that's the level of customer service I want to keep.
But what did you do when the bags were not? I mean, did you send them back, or were you on the hook?
No, we were on the hook. So we already paid for everything. We already had that. But, you know, some of the lessons that we learned. So what I did is that I laid really low. So we kind of like just stop everything. And this was a time that we needed to do a name change too. We had some trouble with our US trademark. We knew that we're going to change the name. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe this is a good thing for us. So we want to change the name. I'm going to do the whole new brand, rebrand. And because the first time around, I was testing the market and we got really good feedback. So I'm like, now I'm willing to invest more. Let's hire a company. Let's do a rebrand. And what I did is that I looked for another manufacturer, which was twice as expensive, but I knew that they can deliver. I flew to China for 2 weeks and sat down with them to just make sure that they are who they say they are. And kind of like just visiting everything, sitting down with their manufacturer. They are a manufacturer that make bags for Disney and so many other big brands. So I'm really confident in what they can deliver. So that's when I'm like, okay, you know what? Now we're ready to launch. So this past September, we did a relaunch with a new name, new branding, and a new manufacturer. So now I'm kind of like, that's out of the way. I have everything
worked out with the
yeah.
A little bit of a tangent question, but what is it like doing business in China as a woman?
Gosh, please, you read my mind. I was just going to ask her that.
You know, it was very surprising for me. So when I wanted to go, I've never been to China, and I was going alone, and I was like, I don't know anybody. I don't know the language, obviously. And I heard so many stories that the companies knew the knew English because I was working with them. But I was a little bit scared and I was hesitant to go. But like, you have to do what you have to do, right? And it was just a big leap of faith that I took, and I went, and it was surprisingly amazing. So what happened to me is that I didn't even know like what I'm going to do when I get to the airport. Like, I had my hotel booked and everything, but I'm like, how do I even get a cab if they don't speak English? So I had all of my VPNs and everything, and Google Translate and everything, and had the address printed out. Like, I was like, I have everything. But then, that company did is that, just tell me your flight number and we'll come and pick you up. Nice. So there I arrive at the airport, and they're there waiting for me with a car, taking me to the hotel. And every day they came and picked me up, take me to their facilities, and take me to lunches, to dinners and sightseeings. And I'm like, it was so funny because the first few days I was so jet lagged. There's a 12 hours difference, and they persisted that they should take me out. Like, I really want to go to sleep, but it was such a good experience, just knowing that I am one of a very, very small customers of theirs. So they had this huge customers, but their customer service is so good and they're so professional that I talk about that a lot, because I know that a lot of people are my place last year, that they don't know what they can expect going to China or going to the fairs there. But I'm like, I can tell you, like, I have experienced that. It was a difficult experience, but at first, but then to me, it's just, I can't wait to go back.
I love the part about getting uncomfortable. And we talk about this all the time, is when you're most uncomfortable is when you can birth the most incredible things. And, you know, had you not gone and met them and, you know, developed this, like knowing that you needed more than what you were getting from the other place. I mean, wow. I mean, that's a big thing to do. And also in a different, totally different environment that isn't always super embracing of women. I mean, we hear a lot about these different cultures and how they don't, you know, embrace the female and especially the female entrepreneur. So kudos to you. So now where can we find these bags? Are they in retail shops? Are they online?
So we were solely online. So we sell on our website only. And just this past month, we opened to retail. So we have just started talking to retail. We have a few. Thank you. And the reason we did that is that I go to trade shows and we just launched September. So in September, October, November, I was really busy with trade shows and I felt so happy and so lucky that I got this response from people. It was crazy. Like I was walking on the clouds. People will come and see the bags when they see it and feel it and touch it and just look at all the functions. They go crazy about it. And I got a lot of love.
They're beautiful.
Thank you. I got a lot of love. I got a lot of orders on that, like 1 day trade shows or 2 day trade shows that I did in Toronto and in Vancouver. Like I traveled to Vancouver a few times and it was amazing. So that was kind of like the moment that I'm like, I have to put this in front of people because people have to see it like in real life. And that's why we opened. I'm going to be in Vegas for a very big Vegas wholesale show in May. Yeah. And that's when I'm hoping to kind of like open up to US retailers as well. And then other than that, we are online and we sell to Canada, US and UK.
What's your best selling bag?
Pardon?
Which one is your best selling bag?
Oh, our Luna bag, which is the one that we used to have prior to the rebrand too. So that's definitely our best seller. It's a bigger one. It has more capacity and a little bit more stylish. And then we have the Elara bag that is a little bit more compact and it has its own kind of like lovers. but the Luna bag, especially the cream one, is just, I just see people really love. And I have a lot of people coming to me saying that we love the cream one, but we're afraid that it's going to get dirty. And I always tell them, you know what? I've been prototyping this bag for 3 years. I went to Disney World with it. I went to, like, I just push it under the seat on that airplane. It just doesn't get dirty because you can wipe it. Don't worry about the color. There's no color transfer. I'm just giving you a pitch. But anyways,
we're listening. We're into it. I think, you know, for somebody who found a need in a market, which is, you know, a story we love to tell, who's put everything she has into it to create this brand that is stylish, looks good, is multifaceted, is something that a woman can grab and go. She can be a mom. She can be a sassy gal. She can be a businesswoman. She can do all the things. You are definitely one to keep an eye on. And we are so honored to be able to share space and tell your story. Nas, we hope that everybody hears your story this week and is inspired.